It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. I have been telling people for a number of years now the importance of balancing the four aspects of who we are. So we are physical, we are emotional, we are spiritual, and we are intellectual. And if you stay in just two of those areas and you don't have the other two incorporated into your life, I'm going to say you live kind of a wobbly life, much like a chair or a table that's unbalanced that has four legs. So we know what that feels like physically when we have a table that we're eating at and it kind of moves up and down. And that's the way our life is, I think, personally, is that if we don't have an imbalance, then there's a portion of us that is a little bit wobbly all the time. So that is where the show is coming from. And the guests that I have on the show bring their knowledge in how to balance certain aspects of those four areas. I have as a returning guest, Gina Nelson. And before we get started with Gina, and our topic is going to be healthy boundaries, I want to remind everyone that all of the shows are archived on the website. So that is synergyconnectionradio.com. And there's, I think, 28 or 29 pages of shows, and about 380 or 85 of them, I've lost count. And so if you scroll through the different pages, you'll find Gina from a couple of past shows, and you'll find a lot of other people that have wonderful things to say. So check that out. Additionally, the link on my website goes to Boomers Forever Young, and I've been using their products for probably 7 years now. I believe that they have definitely kept me very healthy all the way through our COVID pandemic. And I guess some people are still getting COVID or RVS or something of that nature. And I believe it's because the immune system isn't where it needs to be. So again, I'm going to remind everyone that when you have your physical, and hopefully you do have a physical, but when you get that, if you do not ask for these two tests, they will not give them to you. And so you need to ask for a D as in dog 3 test. That's your immune system. The number needs to be above 70, and mine is 100. So I'm not going to come down with a virus or a bacterial infection. Or if I do, I'm going to be able to fight it off pretty easily. The other one is a C-reactive protein test. And again, if you don't ask for it, they're not going to give it to you. And that one is the level of inflammation in your body. And inflammation is the source of all illnesses and disease. So you want that number to be below 0.5. The last time I had mine done, it was 0.1. So I'm pretty low on inflammation and pretty high on my immune function. And that is our responsibility. That is not a doctor's responsibility. It belongs to us. So please check out their website. They have 2,500 or more testimonials. They have blogs. They have their own podcast. They have a lot of videos. Maybe there's going to be something there that will speak to your health needs. And if you decide to order, then if you put my first name, L-U-C-Y, in the discount code box, you're going to get $5 off. It can be applied wherever you want to apply it, but you can do that with every single order. Just use my first name and you're going to get $5 off. They do offer a lot of buy one, get one too sometimes. So that's kind of cool. All right. So welcome back to the show, Gina. And we're going to be talking about healthy boundaries as an act of self-love. And I think that is so cool because as a professional therapist still working with people, boundary setting is one of the core things I talk about all of the time because we give away our own rights most of the time. When we're in a relationship, we want it to work. And so many times we have a taker and we have a giver. And, you know, they don't know where their boundaries end because they take all of us with them. And sometimes we as caregivers, which I think you and I are, it's really important to understand how to say no, you know, that this is not okay. So I know that's our topic today, and how exciting, because I believe it's so important.
Thanks, Lucy. I appreciate having the opportunity back on your show and to have a conversation about this. It's definitely something. Boundaries have definitely been a factor in the experience of my life, whether they are have been unhealthy boundaries or learning healthy boundaries. I agree with you that it's a main factor in so many of our lives, because I know for myself, you know, I was acting out of self-protection or acting out of defense if I felt my boundaries being pushed. And then I also feel like I personally had a low sense of self-worth and a low sense of self, because I didn't quite understand where I began and where other people started, and didn't have a sense of how to have healthy boundaries and still know that I could have my open heart. Right? I thought that one would kind of take away the other. And so learning how to have healthy boundaries and know that my heart energy actually can be even bigger, wider, and more accessible to myself and to others because of the boundaries I understand now about who I am and that I have a right to them, has been so helpful for me to just be more authentically who I am. So yes, I love this topic too.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of times people don't understand that when they set a boundary, it allows them to feel safe. And if you feel safe, you can give more because you're
Absolutely.
not busy protecting yourself.
Absolutely. I think that's so true. Did a workshop recently, and I just kind of put together a definition of healthy boundaries and unhealthy boundaries, and I thought I'd read them, and then we can just kind of talk a little bit about that. So a healthy boundary is a clear, kind, direct, consistent expression of your most authentic self. Healthy boundaries lead to more fulfilled and balanced lives. They make you feel freer to be you. Healthy boundaries are definitions. They're defining edges that we create around our emotions, our emotional body, our physical body, and our mental bodies to stay connected and in relationship and content with who we are. We can live life on our own terms. So, and healthy boundaries support, you know, support us as people. And then I put, we are human, we have needs. And the reason I put that one in there is because I think when we as human beings accept that we have needs because we are human, and we all have things that help us feel safer, more confident, more secure, happier, whatever those individual things are that make us us, that it's okay to have those needs, to define those needs, and then ask for what we need. And so I put that in there as well, because that I think for me was something growing up that I was the middle child. So, you know, I think a lot of middle children kind of give away their needs as a general rule to be the peacekeeper. Or maybe they don't feel like there's room for their needs. And so I think I started a pattern of kind of pushing away my needs and then put that into a category of, well, I'll just be a giver then, right? I just won't have any needs. And so I put that in the healthy boundary definition, also as a starting place for defining what are those needs and who am I, and what do I
Did
want.
you? Yeah, did you find that because you kind of thought that way of, I just won't have any needs, that you became resentful and angry?
I did not notice that until probably in my, I'd say in my late 30s, in my 30s at some point, maybe my 40s. I'm 50 now. That I think the frustration for me probably came with, and I've been married for 22 years, is, you know, I directed my resentment at my husband. But really what it was feeling that I did not honor myself enough in my decades and give myself enough credit and enough self-worth. and undefine, you know, define and define my edges, right? Mm-hmm. Of who I was as a person. And so there was just a lot of merging that I
did. You ever feel like you were lost in the, you know, like as you made the journey that, okay, now who am I really? And what is important to me as you were in that self-discovery process?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I feel like I've been clear about, you know, who I am and what's important to me. I think the piece that was important for me to solidify was that, again, it was okay for me to have those needs, a reconciliation of it is okay that I have these desires, these needs, these wants. And then I would say, again, back to that sense of self, that by putting those pieces together of really clarifying who I am, what are my values, that I became really self-referential.
Mm-hmm.
That was all there before. I just don't think I knew how to put it together. Like it was a bit of a puzzle piece. So mm-hmm. I don't know if I felt lost. I just felt like I didn't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes any sense.
Yeah. No, I mean, it does, because I think we have all of these aspects, it, just like I say, with the intellectual, the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. Each one of those big areas have many subdivisions. Mm-hmm. And so as you begin to put the puzzle together as to who is, you know, who's Lucy, who's Gina, you know, who's anybody, we have been a wife, we've been a mother, we've been a daughter, we've been a sister, we've been a coworker, you know, we're all these different components, but at the core, you know, we're still who we are. And we just go visit these other areas. And so I think that that's kind of critical, is to do that, you know, self-evaluation. You're not always going to be the caregiver in every one of those, or the peacemaker in every one of those, or the CEO in every one of those.
Yes. And, you know, and for me, when you said, did I feel lost? I think one of the things that kept me from feeling lost was that I always had a knowing, right? And I think a lot of us have a little bit of an undeniable knowing that about something about ourselves. And for us, I always knew I had a big heart and I had a lot to give. I was I never questioned that, even if I didn't know the edges of who I was, like that I knew was true. Now, whether I would be able to be healthy enough or accessible enough or open enough to do everything I wanted with that open heart, that was still in question. But I think when I began to define who I was through my own lens, holding on to that knowing that my open heart, the piece that I wanted to continue to show and be in the world, that as I began to know that that actually was only getting bigger, and that kind of, it was like a feedback loop, was the more my heart, more I could connect with who I was as an open-hearted person, then the more confident I felt, the more in control I felt, the more I recognized my self-worth. It all kind of helped me define me, and I didn't have to lose anything. I actually got to be more me than I had been being, to your point, with defenses and things coming out sideways and mm-hmm. resentments and all of these things that would kind of clutter my you know, my energetic system and my mental fog and my physical energy. You know, once I had the clearer boundaries and a clearer sense of who I was and a sense of self, that could come through a lot stronger, mm-hmm. and that made me feel even more connected to me and even more home, you know, much more home.
You know, the thought that occurs to me when I look at a child, especially when they're around 5 or 6, you know, they've started preschool or they're entering first grade, is wouldn't it be wonderful if they understood who they were then? Mm. You know, so they could shape themselves through their own choices and not be shaped by teachers or by well-meaning adults that are in their life or other kids, you know, peers. If they actually had at the core of who they were, they understood. And I know you work with children. So Do you in some way help them begin to appreciate, you know, all the wonderful things that they are?
Yeah, you know, I think that is that the one of the main teaching points that I have anytime I work with kids, and it's usually the most favorite thing when I ask for their reflections, is the reminder that they are in essence perfect, and that they have a diamond core at the center of their being, that no matter what their experiences are, no matter what their self, you know, inner dialogue is, no matter what someone from the outside, right, has told them, no matter what negative experiences that they have, that that diamond core can never be altered or changed. And the relief that comes over their faces, I mean, I remember the first time I heard that and really heard it, I was probably in my early 20s. Like the first time where I said, oh, really? Like really, no matter what happens to me, there's still an essence of who I am that can never be damaged. And I'm the survivor of childhood abuse. And so, you know, for a lot of survivors, you know, that piece gets a bit mangled in our own sense of who we are. But regardless of trauma or no trauma, I think having children hear that many, 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 many times and be reminded of that is so important because otherwise we begin and they begin to identify with their experiences. You know, this is who they am, are, this is how they've been damaged or hurt or broken. And when I work with children with a healthy secret keeping and teaching them about, you know, how to navigate the world of secrets, a lot of that is so that they, you know, they're inevitably gonna run into secrets. We are human, we all will have secrets. But I don't want that to be a piece that then questions, you know, those secrets, those experiences, to have them question that self-worth, that sense, that essence that is pure. So that's a piece that I try to offer.
I was thinking, you know, when you were talking about that, there was a story, local story, about a young lady who I think she's in her early 20s now and she's in college, but as a child, she was on the autism spectrum. And she ended up, you know, going through school with special IEPs, you know, to help her navigate. But when she got to high school, they did a horrible job with her IEP. And she started cutting on herself, you know, to say, I'm hurting somebody, you know, do something here. And they basically kept turning their head. You know, they would put her in a room by herself. And she finally, you know, wrote a note and said, I'm going to take my life at school so that you understand how serious this has been. And she did. She tried to, you know, somebody found her before she died and they, you know, brought her back, obviously. And she's now thinking about becoming an attorney and actually working with children who have special needs, such as herself. But her identity was shaped all the way from early childhood because she fell on the autism spectrum. So that's who she was. You know, they neglected to say, you're so much more than this. But
Absolutely.
all of the schools and all of her adult contacts had identified her as a diagnosis. And then how many times does that happen with adults? You know, that are seniors, you know, they've retired. So now their life is more limited because they're no longer working and have that association. And so their life becomes their diagnosis as a senior. You know, I have cardiovascular disease, I have cancer, I have this, I have that. And again, so sad because you're so much more than that. But our society tends to do a labeling job as to whatever you are at whatever stage in life you are.
That's such a powerful story, first of all. And yeah, there's so much to that story, and I love that the student is taking her story and going to help other people, because when you know that you have been missed and not seen, to become empowered and use that is heroic,
And
I think.
how she was able to do that. I mean, I'm just because I mean these are some of the kids that I used to work with all the time, and the fact that she did that on her own. She had enough gumption, you know, deep inside to say, no, I am not going to let my life end this way. I'm going to make, you know, I think there is a saying, and I'm drawing a blank on how it ends, but it's like, make your mess your message. It's something like that. And I think that's what she did, is she, you know, had a life that was pretty messy all the way around.
Yeah.
But then she's stepped forward and said, no, I don't want that to define who I am for the rest of my life.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think that goes back to the beginning of this conversation about, you know, defining ourselves and our sense of selves, is that when I and the people I work with, and when we can start defining ourselves based on our values, it becomes a very different, deeper, grounded connection. It's, you know, I'm a, you know, I value this, I value that, I do this type of work, I do that type of work, but I value, I commit to, right? All of these different words of who I am it seems to be less, I don't know if transient's the word, than our job or our role, or these things, as you say, as seniors get older and now they've lost the title of their job. And then who are they? And so I think anytime we can instill encouraging young ones to know what their values are and really feel good about that, it's a great starting point.
It absolutely is. Well, we're going to take a real quick break to have a word from our sponsor, and we'll be right back.
Are you feeling stressed and anxious about life? Have elevated blood pressure? Experiencing weight gain? Having problems with your immune system? Getting healthy and staying healthy is more important than ever, and it has never been easier when you have Fundamental Nutrition from Boomer Products. Restore the youth and vitality you are used to in just minutes a day. Check out our website at www.boomerboost.com to see thousands of reviews from customers just like you who are benefiting from Boomer Products. While you're there, check out our podcast, blogs, and videos, and get caught up on the latest health news and information. Use promo code Lucy at checkout. That's L-U-C-Y to save $5 on your order. Stop existing and start living today with Boomer Products.
Welcome back to the Synergy Connection Show, where I have as my guest, Gina Nelson, and we're talking about setting healthy boundaries. And so when you, in your 20s, began to say, okay, I am much more than who I think I am. Did your life just like all of a sudden begin to turn around?
That's a really interesting question. Let me think about that for a second, because it certainly did not just turn around. And I think one way to explain that is to go back to what you talk about at the beginning of the show about the table, and it being wobbly. And if we don't have all those legs, you know, in balance. And so I'd say for me that, you know, I'm a very emotional person. I'm a very aware person. My body is very sensitive, and I'm a very inquisitive person. So I'm always thinking about, you know, life and spirituality. So I'm a deep thinker. That I think that when any time I come up to a new awareness, it then it has to go through each of those layers. And so while I may have had this awareness of, oh, I am worthy, or I have more self-esteem, or that there's a part of me that's always never can be broken, right? All the pieces, my physical body was still, you know, wounded from all the years of, you know, stress, chronic stress. And so, you know, that played out for another decade or two in my body, right? So the awareness and the growth could be there, but the body's on its own time frame. And then same thing, I think, with mental health, you know, that, you know, my nervous system, all of that, everything kind of played out on its own. It was all going towards the same, more whole conclusion, but they were playing out
individually
timelines. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just a quick turn. I think it helped me then begin to surround myself with the people that had similar beliefs similar, I could resonate with, I could be inspired by, I could feel connected to. So I think, you know, that continues to build its own momentum, right? When you surround yourself by the people that help you kind of live in the world the way that you want to be, the way that you feel inspired by. So I think that that definitely never stopped, right? It was just kind of the doors just kept opening to me stepping into more of what who I knew that I was, and I would have more permission and more encouragement to do that.
So in your life today, because I know for me this is true, I continue to get all of these aha moments. And you know, and it may be something really tiny, or somebody will say something that I hadn't thought about, and then it's like, huh, you know, that's a really good point, you know, or a good reflection or something. So I think as we get older and we're beginning to see the big puzzle,
yeah,
you know, because we start with this little one. I think of it as, you know, like the way we used to do puzzles is we put the outside pieces together, yes, and then you'd work inward, right? Uh-huh. And so depending on how old we are, we're moving much more towards the center core.
Yes.
And all of these outside pieces have shaped us.
Yes.
But the core is there. And for me, like I said, I continue to get these, oh my goodness, I'd never put that piece in place. And now I can. And now I can see that, okay, this makes sense now.
Yeah, I love that. And I agree with you. There's never been a moment in my life where I've thought, oh, I got it figured out now. I'm on another rung of the spiral, you know, mm-hmm. having a different perspective of maybe the same issue, but it's a never-ending spiral up. And that's part of the joy of it. I mean, for me, is that kind of beginner's mind and that endless curiosity of what it is to be like a spiritual being living in a human body. And I feel every day I feel blessed that I have another day, because I am, I think it's a magical journey. You know, yeah. I don't think it's always easy. I think,
no.
You know,
well, we wouldn't have chosen to, I mean, I believe we choose to come into whatever body, you know, we happen to inhabit at this particular moment. So I believe in past lives, but, I think that it's fascinating. It was an actual bookmark, and I had it for the longest time, and just like that, it disappeared. So I guess I didn't need to keep it anymore, but the message has always been there for me. And that's that our life is like a patchwork quilt. And it's not until we die that we get to look down. And at that moment, we can see what our life was really about, because we're always working on one piece. Just like when you put it into a quilt. Yeah. So you work on the piece of wherever you happen to be at the moment. But then, you know, let's say 40 years later, your life ends. And as you go sailing off into the everlife, you're looking at your life and you're going, wow, that is so interesting.
Yeah,
that our life, you know, did this and this and this and this and this. And hopefully we learned some beautiful lessons along the way.
Yeah, I love that. I love that image of looking down and still having aha moments, right? At that
point. Yeah.
that's beautiful. I had two things. I don't know how many minutes we have left, but
we're good for now.
Okay. One is a poem that I thought I could read. And then the other one was just a little like 4-step toolkit to help people as they are kind of becoming aware of their healthy boundaries. So or how to set healthy boundaries. So this is a poem I wrote probably a couple years ago, and it's called Claim Your Space. And I wrote it at another go around of the spiral, right? Of not just a really feeling permission, right? To step even more fully into who I am. And then also noticing the things that kind of my self-doubt, right? My own narrative that pulls me away from my sense of self, or comparison, or other people's interpretation of me or perspectives. And so this is just a poem inspired by that. Claim your space. Claim your space. You are worthy. Claim your space. Taste your embrace. surviving the race to define your sublime and glorious self, to live long enough to relate, to fight the insanity of the middle space between eyes that judge and nudge the swinging iron pendulum to stay in one place. That defies gravity and humanity. Claim your space, that you are here, that you came and brought it, that you survived. I see you, and without you, I would not be. Not me. Perhaps some other version falsified and fossilized by the great purge that urges to hide truth in lies of obscurity and the absurd. Claim your space, that you survived and showed up, shows my eyes a place to try to retrace, to refine and define my essence, my basic presence, fulfilling my dream to be seen through truth-colored glasses, not worn by the masses, but created by the sand as it sifts through my hand. Claim your space, my glass, my sandcastles washed away by self-doubt, mud smeared across my vision, creating division like sorting apples. Nourish the best ones and discard the rest, oneness erased. I wrestle and dismantle this lie in the light. Come eat off my plate and taste the flavor cut by my knife and savored, the quest for joy unwavered by the false night. And then claim your space, you are worthy. Claim your space, without you, I would not be. Claim your space.
I like that a lot.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and just a reminder, you know, that, you know, the line in there I love is, I see you, and without you, I would not be.
Mm-hmm.
And really just everyone's, giving everyone that permission that the more that we define who we are, right, the more that we all can be ourselves, and it gives other people permission to do that.
So right.
I just wanted to share that journey, and also, you know, my own narrative, my own self-doubt, trying to pull my my own boundaries away. So I like poetry and art as a way to talk about concepts.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure that Salvador Dali felt that way too, or Van Gogh, or Michelangelo, or any of the great artists of the world.
Yeah, symbols and metaphors and all of that have such a nice way of working on our subconscious, for sure.
For sure.
And then the last thing was just a healthy boundary awareness. So, you know, if your listeners are thinking about, oh, wow, this is a new topic, or I haven't really explored this, one thing, you know, is just the awareness is such a big piece. It's just noticing where does this start showing up in your life? And then noticing the compression. So if someone's pushing on your boundaries, or you're pushing on someone else's boundaries, or something just doesn't feel like you're in your own sense of self, just noticing that compression will bring so much information. And then when you notice that compression, just building a landing, building a safe place to just stop, try to get a sense of what's going on, if you have that time, or set aside the time for later. But know that setting aside that time is so important, because there's information coming and learning coming and awareness is coming. And then just watching our thought patterns and narratives in that, on that landing, you know, what's happening is, you know, as I'm having a fight with my husband and we're arguing, you know, what's happening, and just watching my thoughts and patterns about it. And then using tools, and, you know, that there's lots of tools for, which we didn't have time to cover in this, but lots of tools for, you know, setting your healthy boundaries and voicing your boundaries. So maybe that could be for another show. But
absolutely. And I think, you know, journaling, if somebody has never tried it, it's not that you really, I mean, it's great if you can say, okay, I'm going to journal every morning, or I'm going to journal before I go to bed, or, you know, picking a set time. But even if you only can do it a couple of times, you know, a week or a month, it gives you a reference point so that you know where you were and kind of where you're going. So that's beneficial as you're establishing those healthier boundaries, you know, what you will now allow and what you're going to say no to.
I love that. Yeah, it's always a so nice to have a place, you know, when we're living our lives, we're busy living them, right? So there's not the reflection's not happening necessarily in that moment, but to be able to go back and you know, put down what we want for ourselves and be able to check in and see like, are we giving ourselves again the roadmap, the permission to continue to work towards that.
One of the things, we've got a few minutes left, but one of the things that kind of fit in with all of this too, I don't remember whether you and I've talked about this, but if you are in the middle of, let's say, an argument with a coworker or your spouse or your kids, or even a friend, you know, where you've had a disagreement of ideas, is take a deep breath because that's going to recenter you. You know, so be very conscious of breathing deeply and not just the thoracic breathing that we tend to do when we're, you know, in an anxious moment or a frightened moment about, okay, where is this going? And then when you take that deep breath, be thinking of questions that are like what, when, where, who, and how questions. Because our tendency, because of the way most of us have been brought up, is to say, why? You know, why did you do such and such? Well, the minute you ask a why question, you get a defensive answer. You know, it's just like you cross yourself, and you're thinking of how you're going to respond to a why question rather than really listening to what is being said. So if you can ask, you know, what made you think that was a good idea? That's a good one for kids. And then don't say anything else, just ask the question and stay quiet and let them. They're going to come back probably and say, well, I don't know. But you can say, well, let's dig a little deeper than that. Let's see if we can find out maybe a better answer that kind of answers the, you know, what was the reason? Or, you know, when did you discover this? Or how do you want to go forward? But there's so many different ways you can ask for information that draws people out to thinking about behavior as opposed to defending behavior.
That's such a great point. And you know, and it reminds me to, you know, to share with viewers that, and I know for me, when I began to set my boundaries, and to understand myself, to explore them, not set them, to explore them within myself, things came out, they came out sideways. Things got a bit awkward because I was redefining what was okay with me and not okay with me. And also trying to become confident in doing that. The whole thing was, you know, kind of a revamp of who I was. And so I did a lot of communicating. So to your point of these questions and these conversations of, hey, you know, right now I'm trying to work on some things that are making me feel better. This is one thing I'm working on. I'm going to try to be doing this. I may not do it well in the beginning as I'm figuring it out. I might take baby steps. So having a lot of conversation, but this is what I'm trying. Or can we have a longer conversation about this? Because I know it's probably a one sentence thing, but now it feels like a paragraph thing because I don't understand it in myself yet. So really having open communication also lets the people around you learn from you. You model it, and then no one's they can grow with you. And I think that's a wonderful way to start healthy boundaries.
Well, our show is over. So very briefly, can you just tell people how to connect with you?
Yeah, so my business is called Nurture, the number three healing, and that stands for body, mind, spirit. And my website is www.nurture3healing.com. And on there, you can get my email, you know, phone number, ways to connect, and workshops and stuff such. So please feel free to reach out and email. I love to hear from people. And Lucy, thank you so much for the conversation today. I always
Oh,
love being
it's
on the
been
show with you.
fun. And we'll see you again towards the end of August. So have a wonderful spring and summer. And everybody out there, please go and make this your very best life. Share the show with others so that they learn how to set healthier boundaries. Talk to you next time, Gina, and everybody, we'll see you next week.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.